Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our Wednesday night social chat here on By Yahweh's Design. Today is the 14th of February, 2024. And again, this is a time for Jacob Israel to get together and just have an informal sit-down, open forum type chat. That's the purpose. Also to exchange information, learn, bring up new topics, all those kinds of things. But it's pretty much a chance for our people to get back together, even though there's some times where many miles separate us. At least here, thanks to our Heavenly Father, we have a platform that virtually allows us to talk in real time as if we're all sitting around a coffee table in a large living room or a campfire or whatever, and just exchange ideas. A lot of good things can come from that. We certainly see the world starting to fall apart, which we predicted many years ago. Those who have been listening to the program know that. We've had many, many guests on the program with different backgrounds, all predicting the same thing, that we were going the wrong way. And now we're seeing the full results of what happens when you turn your back on the Creator and His law. Because His law works, man's law does not work. And we're seeing the results of that rebellion and turning away in our society everywhere you look. And obviously the answer that we all should be coming to is that we have to give up on the man-made systems, whether you want to talk about centralized banking, centralized government, centralized education, centralized religion. All of the centralized platforms are communistic and atheistic in their origins. Our Father did not teach that. He did not teach it when He was here walking this earth as Yeshua. He certainly didn't have the prophets teach it. And it's just common sense. I mean, it doesn't work. My father had a saying that he used to tell us when we were kids all the time. You can't argue with success. In other words, if something's working, you can't argue with it. You can't deny it. You can't argue with it. And by that same logic, if things aren't working, you can't stand by it. That's why communism should have died many years ago, but Western money stolen from the taxpayers and behind the scenes given to the Jewish communist leaders, we have been fueling and funding and supporting communism all over this world. And how many poor innocent souls have suffered under that yoke? And we in the United States are feeling the beginnings of that punishment. And if we don't turn things around here pretty quickly, we're going to feel some of the other very, very nasty things that can happen when you do that. So let me, somebody's trying to dial into the program. So let me, okay. Yeah. I guess some people, are getting charged. I guess it depends on your phone system and your phone plan. If you're being charged, you shouldn't be charged. But then again, this phone number that, I believe it's up in Canada. So there may be some people trying to get in by phone that would have like a charge to talk, etc. So let me go ahead and unmute the people that have joined us already. And Jeremiah, you can unmute yourself. But anyway, Ella and Jeremiah, welcome. And I was unaware of that, but now that I think about it, that area code is, I believe, outside some phone plans. I forget what they call it. Their calling plan does not include that area code. And so there might be a slight charge. That's why I recommend most people join by computer, because then, of course, there is no charge. But how are you guys doing tonight? What's new and what's on the table?
Well, the world is falling apart, isn't it? I'd like to hear what other people have to say about what they've read, but everything seems to be coming to a head with what I've seen today. People are getting pretty angry.
I'll yield. Yes, they are. How are you seeing it there, Jeremiah?
At least here, I'm not seeing it. I wish to see people get more upset or violent. I'm, at least in my own life, I'm not seeing much change at all from year to year.
I don't see any change in my neighborhood. In my neighborhood, there isn't. And my daughter, when she comes over, and my son-in-law, they don't have a clue that anything is any different. But yet both of them have gotten jabs. And they both, my daughter just recently got a cold. And when he came over to the house, he said, Chris didn't come because she thought she might have gotten COVID again. And I said, I thought she got the injection. He says, she did, but I guess it's just a cold this time. No, just dumb and dumber.
Yeah, really.
Out of my own loins. If that's what you talk about, a woman having a baby. No, that's male out of a male's loin. I'm sorry. I took a nap. Maybe my brain is not engaged at the moment.
Uh-oh. Better hit that nicotine vape there and give it a surcharge. Whatever, little extra charge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got it charging right now, so it'll be ready shortly.
Oh, my gosh.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Well, thank you. Happy Valentine's Day. On a sad note, I talked to my brother just before the show started, and my brother and his wife just lost a very good friend. In their neighborhood, some people they've known for quite some time, and the husband is, I think, 83 or 84, and they were sitting watching a TV show together. I guess this was last night, and the wife looked over and noticed he made some kind of a strange sound and then slumped over, and apparently he had a heart attack. And they were not able to revive him. She called 911 right away and called my brother right away. But by the time everybody got there and everything, apparently it was too late. So he's gone. Unfortunately, also, he and his wife had gotten the jab. I think they regretted it. They talked about it at some of the coffees and things, that they regret that they allowed people to make them afraid, and they got it. But the point is, they still got it. He had some other health issues too. It's not like, you know, he was a spring chicken with perfect health. He had COPD and some other issues going on. So, and they may have played a part as well. We don't know, but certainly if they had put that serum in him, that is certainly something to look at as a possible problem. So a little bit of a sad note. The good news is that there are people waking up. We're talking to all kind of people all the time, and it's pretty evident that the people that can think, I'm trying to use the correct terms here without being belligerent, but the people who can still think, the people that have any integrity left at all, are getting very angry. Now, that's a fact. How many people that is, I mean, the actual number of them, there's no way of knowing that. Only our Father knows that. But from my indicators, based on feedback I'm getting constantly from people and everything else, it tells me there quite a few folks are waking up. Quite a few folks are very angry. And for the first time in a long time, people are starting to use the word hang that I never heard before. And some people using the word, it's time to remove certain groups, shall we say, outside of our them outside of our societies so they can not do any harm anymore. We got a new person here joining us, so let me get my cursor working here. And okay, welcome to the program, Ryan. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, excellent.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, we just started. It's basically an open forum. We were just talking about the deplorable state of the union in the world and the fact that we're starting to see a general awareness that we had not noticed prior, that people are starting to realize that something's terribly wrong. I'm trying to write something down here, so you have to excuse me for a second. They're actually looking for truth, looking for answers that up until recently, most of us who've been trying to wake people up and tell truth about what's going on for decades, we haven't been able to see that. So you're new to the program, so if you don't mind, if you would, take a couple minutes to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you feel comfortable with, of course, and
sure.
How you see the world today.
Ooh, yeah. Well, yeah, my name's Ryan. I live in Michigan. Have a big family. All blonde hair, blue-eyed children.
Yay.
My wife and I have 5 daughters.
Oh, wow.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I do have 8 kids altogether. 2 of them are grown up. My oldest is 30. My youngest is 1. Been at this
wow.
a long time. Yeah, yeah. So, how do I see the world? Man, it's a mess. It's only getting worse. I was talking to a police officer today at my kid's BJJ class, and, you know, he was telling me about all these laws they're passing in Michigan here about taking people's firearms. And, man, I was like, you know, it's a good time to move, I told him. I said, I think it's time to get out of the purple states and head for the red. I don't know. Those purple states are looking to choke you out real quick, I think. So there's some laws that passed about, you know, there's like 3 or 4 different laws that passed here in Michigan recently, or that were implemented recently in, that have to do with, you know, taking people's firearms if they, if they're deemed like, some type of threat. They're trying to use school shootings. They're trying to use people that are, getting, out of line at, you know, your school board meetings and stuff like that, to form these laws to give them an excuse to take people's firearms away. And I just think that's an indication of what's to come. You know, I personally anticipate, you know, an upcoming civil war within the next couple of years. I think they're predictively programming people for that now. They launched a movie about a month ago or a few months ago called Leave the World Behind by the you know, the lovable Obamas. And, you know, now in April they're coming out with another movie called Civil War. It could be more obvious what they're trying to prep the people for. So I anticipate probably over the next year or two we'll be seeing, I would think after Trump gets reelected that they're gonna start pushing it probably early into 2025 is what I see happening. It could happen this year as well, around the election time, I suppose, but I think it's more likely to happen next year. From there, it's just going to get really ugly really fast. And that's just where I'm at with where the world's at today. I mean, I could go on and on about, you know, where I see things prophetically and so forth, but, you know, just in the immediate future, that's where I see things going.
Wow.
I've even heard that Big Mike might be running for president.
Yeah, it's possible. He's probably going to you know, dance on, you know, some talk show first.
Good God.
Well, with Bird Brain Biden in there, you never know what's going to happen next anyway. Go ahead. Dan, I'll yield. I'll shut up.
Okay, yeah, I was just, yeah, we conduct these like a regular Robert's Rules of Order type of meeting to where we try to keep it to one person speaking at a time. And when you're done speaking, generally we'll say, I yield. That way so everybody knows it's an open mic. And once somebody starts talking, we try to keep everybody else to allow that person to speak before anybody jumps in. It's just better because I've been broadcasting now for 24 years. When you play back the recordings and there's too many people talking, you just lose all the good information that was in there. So that's why we do that. But I was going to ask, I used to live in Michigan for 10 years. I was working in Southwest Michigan. I was just curious what part of Michigan you're at. Not too much detail. Again, I'm just curious what area.
Sure. Yeah. I'm in Southwest Michigan. I'm in Kalamazoo to be specific.
Oh, okay. I was down in Stevensville.
Okay. Yeah.
Below Benton Harbor. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. And yeah, you're not very far away at all. So, and I'll tell you what, I used to go to Patriot meetings where most of the people there were identity, but they were also Patriots, and many of them were also part of the Michigan militia. And we had quite a few meetings in Southwest Michigan back in those days, all the way from 1999 to 2008. Was when I was there, and there were quite a few meetings. I started the radio show from Michigan there in 1999. So from 98 to 2008, I got to meet an awful lot of great people. And it was while I was there, I remember I looked it up one time, and since I studied Greek and Hebrew, I found it interesting. The word Michigan comes from a native American, which were the white Indians that lived up in the Michigan area, which was Mishkan. And so Michigan is kind of an anglicization of their word for it. And Mishkan is actually a Hebrew word. It comes right out of the Hebrew language, and it means sanctuary. So I can see why, if you were living in those days when there were no rail systems, no roads, etc., and you were traveling across our country, if you came into Michigan, I can see where they called it a sanctuary, because when I lived there, I realized Michigan's got the deepest topsoil, I think, of any state of this union. In places in Michigan, it goes down 12 feet. That's a lot of topsoil. Also, there's more freshwater streams and lakes, I think, per acre in Michigan than anywhere else. And plus, you got the Great Lakes all around it. So would somebody think of that as a sanctuary? I sure as hell would. So what do you want to call it, breadcrumbs showing who the real Israelites were, what our languages were, the little road maps or the little signposts to show our travels, where we went, the things we left behind to identify who we are. Like I've told people many times in identity meetings, they would come up to me and they go, Dan, I love what you're saying, but I feel bad. And I said, well, why is that? I got Indian in me. And I said, what, the white Indians or the red Indians? Well, I didn't know there was a difference. Well, there is a difference. There was the Asiatic Indians, primarily in the West, and there were the Caucasian Indians in the eastern two-thirds of the United States, who were the remnant of the ancient Israelites who came here 3,600 years ago. And this has been verified by archaeologists, by the way. One of them lives up in Royal Oak, Michigan, by the name of Steve Collins. I've read all of his books, and he's done the research, and he's proved it. Okay, so our people came from Europe and the Middle East 3,600 years ago and came into Michigan and mined it. They mined copper. They took timbers. They took all kinds of things with them. And some of them stayed. And they became what people ended up calling them Native Americans. But they're not Indians. They're not from India. They're not from the East Asia area. They are leftover European Caucasians of Israelite origin. And that's why there's so many Hebrew names for states and rivers and towns and things like that. But And I could go on and on and on, so I'll go ahead and yield. Ryan, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. I didn't know too much about that, but I definitely take your word for it. I have I've been working on studying like the old world, and there's a lot of evidence through archaeology, you know, that there were, you know, intelligent civilizations here. You know, there's a lot of evidence for, you know, I don't know what your studies have been on, like Nephilim, you know, the hybrids, but there's a lot of evidence for them here in the United States. And, you know, I'm a personal believer that there was, you know, a Pangaea. And I'm, you know, I think that that was broken up at one time, and, you know, that travel was, you know, made difficult. But then, you know, that's when, you know, they got into, you know, ship making and stuff like that. But I do believe that there was a Pangaea at one point. Not sure when it was broken up. You know, I know there's some different theology or theological beliefs along, you know, the Great Flood, the Noah's Flood, and whether that was worldwide or regional. You know, you have the Tower of Babel as well, which is an interesting timeline for when the languages were compounded. And, you know, that's also an area of time where the continents could have been broken up. Who knows? But it does appear that way, you know, unless everyone was just, you know, still navigating, you know, and it was, we have this same map the entire existence, you know, it's possible, I guess. But yeah, that's definitely some interesting history there. Thanks for sharing that. I yield.
Oh yeah, no problem. It's what it's a passion of mine. When I first got told about the identity message, I had a friend of mine who brought me to it. I studied it intensely. In fact, I like to tell people at one time I used to have 60 and 90 minute cassette lectures by identity teachers. I had 1,100 cassette tapes of various teachers that I had collected. And that was just the cassettes. I had plenty of videotapes. I had booklets and pamphlets, all, because I love this message because it made sense. I grew up in a Methodist church. I've attended just about every Protestant denominational church there is. I've been to some Catholic churches, Lutheran churches, but they never answered the tough questions. They just reminded me of the same ritualistic Catholic, Roman Catholic services, which I found to be completely abominable. And when I got to know the identity message, I said, this is a pure and simple message. It's beautiful. It answers the tough questions very simply. And all you have to do to get to it is to go back to the Greek and Hebrew that the original documents were written in, and you'll find out that we've been lied to. For instance, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one of the biggest ones that's completely wrong. Because what that actually says is thou shalt not race mix. You will not mongrelize. And you won't mongrelize trees, vegetables, fruits, fabrics, animals, pets, or children. You don't mongrelize anything. Basically, our Father created a world, and he created it the way he wanted it to stay. That's why the scripture makes it very clear, kind after kind. If you go back to the root languages, it's very, very clear what he meant. You don't have the right to create different kinds of fruits and vegetables and people. And scientifically, I've got the books on my shelf over here. I've got the scientific studies that have been done to prove why you don't want to do that, because of all the emotional and mental problems that people of mixed races typically have. And again, don't mean to step on toes. You know, a lot of people I know have children that have decided they're going to marry outside of their race. Well, okay, but they also have all the problems that in these books they talk about. Every single one of them has the problems that comes along with when you do that. And, you know, I've seen it on the farm. I grew up on a farm. I've seen what happens when you crossbreed cattle and cats and dogs. So, you know, here again, our father gave us rules. People, whatever, they just have a hard time accepting the fact that we have a creator. He gave us rules. And if you want the blessings, you gotta do it his way. Ella, you've got your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to lower my hand there so it won't be confusing. Okay, when Ryan brought up the fact of the Nephilim and all that kind of thing, it brought to mind the thing that I have been studying for the past 15 years, and that's on Genesis 6. And that has to do with the committing of adultery as well, because the flood, the reason for the flood itself was because people were mixing races. There were no fallen angels in Genesis 6. People have misinterpreted the sons of God, which are clearly defined in Luke 3:38 of the New Testament. The sons of God were the descendants of Adam. They were the white race, the people that were chosen. And what these sons of God were doing, they were mixing with the pre-Adamites, who were not of the white race. And that was the reason for the flood. And apparently, according to the Book of Enoch, which is a pseudepigraphical book and not amongst the canon of the Bible, it was written by so-called Enoch. And in, I think it's Jude 1:14, I think it says that there's a quote from Enoch. And they say that's why it verifies that the Book of Enoch is part of the Bible, where it is not. Because if you read Genesis 4:17, it talks about the line of Cain, and Cain's first son was named Enoch. So we don't know which Enoch it is. However, Yeshua in John 3:13 tells us clearly, he was talking to Nicodemus and said that no man has entered heaven at any time except he who has descended. So that means that there was never any Enoch that went to heaven and was able to describe all the things that were described in the Book of Enoch. So I think that that book has given everybody a false impression of what happened in Genesis 6 that caused the flood. What caused the flood in the things that I have studied is people were race mixing, because, you know, the New Testament says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. But what's happening today is all these transgenders, race mixing, and all that kind of thing. And that's what's happening, like as it was in the days of Noah. So that's how we know it's the end times today. Okay, I'll yield.
I would go one step further. As it was in the days of Noah, the reason that he wiped out the people in that area, because it wasn't worldwide, because in that area, the sons of Adam were committing all manner of lawlessness. Of course, race mixing is considered an abomination, but they were doing all manner of things, bestiality, murder, rape, prostitution, you name it, just like we see in the world today. That's why he said the end of the age will be like it was at the in the days of Noah, because that's what the people in that area were doing. Noah and his family were the only ones that obeyed the law. So they obeyed all the law, not just the racial part. They obeyed all the law. And he told them to build the ark because he knew what was going to happen. He was going to flood the area and destroy the people that were there because they were polluted. They had committed so many crimes that they weren't to be saved. And I believe he's going to do the same thing again. I think his true sons and daughters will have some sort of a safety mechanism, just like the ark was for Noah and his family. There's a safety mechanism our father has for his true sons and daughters who not only worship him, but they obey him and teach his law the way it's supposed to be. I get it that sometimes people got themselves in trouble with their previous quote life, but the problem is, you have to admit that that was a mistake. You can't just ignore it. All of us have made mistakes. That's the whole reason for Yeshua's blood to cover us. We've all made mistakes. We all are guilty of the death penalty. All of us are. So we're not trying to be condemning with what we're saying. We're just simply saying you can't overlook what he wants for us on this earth. You can't gloss over it because of some mistakes we made in the past. We have to admit they were mistakes, repent of those mistakes, and don't teach others to commit the same mistakes. So I just wanted to add that to it. So I'll go ahead and yield to the floor.
I can add too that on top of that too, that it proves that it was not a worldwide flood, is because if it were a worldwide flood, this whole world would only be of one race. Because if it were worldwide, everybody was killed except for Noah. And Noah and his whole family were all white. Because Genesis 6:9 says Noah was perfect in his generations. A lot of people seem to think that Ham was black and Shem was Asian and Japheth was white. Well, that was not the truth. The truth is all of Noah's sons were of the same race as Noah. So there couldn't have been a worldwide flood either, because there are different races all throughout the world. Not only that, there are Asians, pygmies, all kinds of people. So that shows that one thing. I'll yield.
Yeah, not only that, but like Chinese records and civilizations that go back multiple tens of thousands of years have no record of a flood that killed everybody off. None of them have it. So go ahead, Jeremiah, you got your hand up.
Nope, I was just going to add what you did, that we have historical evidence from Babylon, Egypt, and China with no break in their history.
Right. Right. Well, and it also stands to reason that, you know, why would the pygmies of Australia, who have no contact with the Adamic people at all at that time, why would you kill them off? What did they do wrong? They're not the sons of the covenant. They didn't even know the law. Or the aborigines of the Brazilian jungle that were doing things that would be against you. They weren't given the law. The law was given to one group of people. The people that made the covenant with Yahweh are our people. Adam, the word Adam means to show blood in the face, which means to blush. So the Adamic people can blush. Other races do not blush. And we're talking about pure. Okay, not mixed people. The pure races do not blush. Only the white man blushes. He shows blood in the face when he gets excited or his adrenaline is pumping or whatever. And it stands to reason because we are all different. My buddy grew up same time I did in the 1950s, and his dad took him to the Smithsonian Institute back then. And at that time, it wasn't. We didn't have political correctness. So the Smithsonian Institute had a display of the skeletons of the various races. And he said it was clear as a bell, the differences between, let's say, an Asian, a black, and a white man. He said the differences in their skeleton makeup was amazing. You could see it. Just looking at it, you didn't have to be a scientist to figure it out. So again, the enemy has come in and tried to bury all this information under political correctness and affirmative action, which is nothing more than a Jewish communist way to get us to ignore our history. Because even Lenin and Trotsky and all the rest of them said, if you can separate a people from their past or their culture, they can be easily persuaded. Okay, so they were Jewish communists, Trotsky and Lenin. And so that's what you see being played out is a communist insurgency in the United States and in virtually every white nation. The Jewish communists are doing exactly what they did to the Russians, exactly what they did to the Vietnamese and the Koreans, the Chinese and everybody else. They go in and they try to obliterate the connection to their past, their history, so that they can be, quote, easily persuaded, because you have to do that. Communism is an unnatural way to live. It's unnatural. It's ungodly. And so people that have been raised with any kind of common sense or an attachment to our Creator they would not buy the communist bullshit line. They would not buy it. So they have to come in and separate it. That's the whole purpose for this new age stuff, this political correctness, affirmative action. All of it is a way to go in and force things that don't work, don't make sense, onto a population so that they'll buy into it and they can get away with their takeover. They can then eliminate God. They can eliminate our history, our culture. Look at the tearing down of our statues. That is a typical Jewish communist maneuver. They did the same thing in Russia. They did the same thing in China. All of their ties to the past, the wise men, the elders that taught common sense and godliness and cleanliness, they tear it all down so that you'll buy into their satanic, ungodly, unclean, nonsensical way of life, which is this dystopic world that we live in, is evidence that that's exactly what they've been up to. I yield.
Silence.
Crickets.
Hello. Okay. Oh, sorry. Are you speaking, Ella? I didn't mean to over talk.
No.
Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, I don't know what you got. What? So I definitely, would respectfully say that I do have some theological differences, you know, with some of the points made tonight, especially around the flood, the Book of Enoch. Canon, you know, but I'm not here to cause discord. I'm here just to listen and learn. You know, I'm always open to new perspectives, and I always study things out. One thing I will ask is historically, you know, you bring up the statues and stuff like that, and have you? What are your guys' beliefs on the Freemasons and secret societies here? I'll yield.
Ungodly.
Bad stuff. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, ungodly. And I'll tell a little short anecdote here that happened in my life. I was working in Toledo at the time, Toledo, Ohio, and some of my worker buddies came up and said, "Damn, we'd like you to join our lodge, Freemason Lodge." And at the time, I didn't know why not. My grandfather was a low-level Mason. So I didn't know anything about them. So they said, "Oh, it's just a brotherhood thing, blah, 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 blah." So I went ahead and went through the first three levels up to a Master Mason. And I left them shortly after reaching that third level. And my buddies said, "Well, why did you do that?" And I said, "Well, because it goes against my faith. I don't believe I can serve Christ and be in the lodge. I don't believe that. The oaths that you take, it just seems like you're glorifying an institution and man versus the Creator. Even though they'll use the word God, but you're not. It doesn't ever really define who the God that they're talking about is. And again, at that level, at the lodge where I was at, I never saw any of the nefarious things that we hear about all the Freemasons at the top, that they were involved in. I never heard anybody. I never saw anything. However, in the years after leaving it, that I have studied into that stuff, I'm glad I got out of it. And I think it's repugnant to our Creator to have anything in secrecy. I don't believe he wants us to live in secrecy. And that's why the government, they got away with a lot of the nefarious things that they've been up to by hiding it behind national security, which is just a way to say, well, we're going to operate like a secret society. And you're not part of it, even though you're a citizen and you're a voter and you're supposed to be in charge. It's your country. No, because we're part of the government. We declared it to be national security, we can literally do anything we want. And now everybody wants to do that. Corporations declare they need to have secrecy for this and that. Police departments, oh, we need to have secrecy. So I guess that's a long way of saying that, no, I don't believe we should be having anything of secrecy. Does that answer your question, Ryan?
Yes, sir. I'd like to add to that. And my studies have taken me, I've gone down the rabbit hole on this one. And my studies have taken me to all high-level Freemasons and other secret societies are all either Jews or sellouts to the Jews, completely, you know, what they refer to as useful goyim. If you look at the artwork in Washington, D.C., and the layout, everything is satanic. When you bring up the statues, you know, once you know that each statue they've taken down was a Freemason, satanic, child-murdering, Ben Franklin's homes, they found children's bones in the floors. None of these guys were good men. You know, they might have done some good things, but it was all to their benefit. Today we're dealing with the destruction of our Christian heritage because they passed laws that allowed them to do so. Now we're dealing with, after-school Satan hour or whatever they want to call it, the Satan Church, and they're challenging laws in the state of Texas because you have abortions, and they say, no, those are our rituals. You're attacking our religion because when you do an abortion, that's we're celebrating that. So now they're suing over that kind of stuff, and it's disgusting. And all this goes back to the very founding of our nation. And once you do a deep dive into that, it's mind blowing. I'll yield.
Well, yeah, those are good points. Again, the communists are taking the statues down. I don't think they're taking them down because they're associated with satanic rituals. They're taking them down because the average American looks at them as a tie to our ancestors that founded this country. Were those guys capable of doing some of the things you're talking about? Probably so. But I wasn't there, so I don't know. You got to be careful about any historical information that's being presented to us, because where do we get our information from? They've been controlling the flow of information for a long time. And I've had a lot of discussions even about scripture. Who put the books together? The Roman Catholic Church. Who did the very first translations? The Roman Catholic Church. And I'm pretty sure everybody here knows that the Roman Catholic Church is evil to the core. It has been for a very long time. It's run by the Jesuits, who are a Jewish organization. So, you know, you got to be careful. That's why you've got to back up with empirical evidence what you believe the scriptures are telling you, because our Father in heaven does not lie. So if you read something in there and it doesn't match up with the world around us, then it's a very good chance that it's either a mistranslation or a complete fabrication, such as John 3:16. Most people in America today do not realize that the earliest and oldest manuscripts did not have John 3:16 in it. And yet that's probably the one verse that almost every Christian in America knows, and yet it was not in the earliest documents. Just the point I'm trying to make. Ella, go ahead. You have your hand up.
Oh, yeah, I'll take my hand down there. Okay, I wanted to bring up the fact that we are where we are now through the mistakes our ancestors made. And one thing about knowing what the Old Testament, many Christians today just take the Old Testament and they throw it aside and think it doesn't matter today, but it does. Because the reasons why we went wrong are written right there. Like, for instance, in the New Testament itself, Revelation 18:4, it tells us to leave Babylon, get out of Babylon. That's the mistake we're making, and he pointed it out to us. And if you go back to the Old Testament, when the people demanded that they wanted a king, Yahweh gave them a king, and that's where all the misery started. None of us who profess to have faith in the Bible and faith in our Heavenly Father should even ever be going into that voting booth, because our leader is Yahweh. He has made his laws that are the commandments, and those are the only laws that we are supposed to and commanded to go by. We are not commanded to go by man's laws as they made up as they go along. So that's our mistake now, and what we have to do from here on in is try to go back to where we were then and not make the same mistakes. come out of Babylon, forget the government that's there, start our own community under Yahweh's laws, and go from there, if we could possibly do that. I'll yield.
Amen. That's why we call it the Ark Project, to find property and establish communities of believers who want to live 100% under Yahweh's law. And man's law can go to hell, just like the Amish do. it's very similar. And by the way, to reinforce what Ella was talking about, William Blackstone is considered one of the greatest jurists to ever live. I think it was back in the 1600s. But William Blackstone, his commentaries were taught in all of the law schools in America up until the recent time frame. And William Blackstone said, any law that is created by man that is counter to God's law is no law at all. Okay, so a man recognized by Europeans and Americans and Canadians as probably one of the greatest jurists ever made it very clear, just like it says in the book of Peter in the New Testament, if you have a choice between man's law and God's law, you must choose God's law. It doesn't say you should. It doesn't say I highly recommend it. It says you must choose it. So in biblical times, you had Peter who walked with Yeshua, who said it. The prophets, of course, said it. And even closer to our time, you had William Blackstone and many other philosophers, but William Blackstone is the strongest, who basically said, if you make a law that contradicts God's law, it has no validity, it has no authority, it has no standing. The problem is our people have become secular. They're secular. We've been Judaized into thinking like a Jew. That's why the greatest number of college students per capita for Jews is in medical schools and law schools, because with the control of those two, they can control everything. I remember my dad went to, I think it was Harvard, for a business trip. They had to go to either Yale or Harvard. And I remember he went there and he told me on the phone, and he was not aware of the things that we're aware of. But I remember he called me and he said, wow, he said, I never knew there were so many Jews. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he says, well, there's like 50% of the students here are Jews. I said, oh. And he was not, you know, he wasn't, didn't mean anything by that. He was just making an observation. And since then, I've learned that that is quite typical of the law schools, because Jews will send their children to medical school or law school, typically, because that's what controls what's going on. That's where the money is from the medical side, and that's where the control of the country and the people is from the legal side. So when they get you thinking more like a secular humanist, then the Jew automatically has power, because they are the preponderance of judges and lawyers and prosecutors. Whereas they lose power when you start thinking like a true believer in our Creator Father, because now they have no power. Doesn't matter how much money they have, doesn't matter how many laws they write, because in the heart of a true believer, those pieces of paper are just that. They're just pieces of paper. Whether it's an executive order or a mandate or a regulation or a statute or a county this or a state that, doesn't matter. If it runs counter to our Creator's instructions and laws, just like a bunch of people got together in 1974 and said it was okay to murder a baby. In fact, just before they did that, they got everybody to start calling a baby a fetus. Okay, that comes right out of the Jewish Talmud. Okay, that very concept comes straight out of a Jewish Talmud, which is their holy book, not a Bible. The Talmud. A baby is just a clump of cells until it exits the mother's womb. That's the Jewish thought. And they got us to think like a Jew. And therefore, a few years later, after they got us programmed into calling it a fetus instead of a baby, they passed the Roe v. Wade and said, oh, now it's okay to murder babies. Only we're just eliminating a fetus. Okay, you see the difference? It's a paradigm shift, just like law enforcement. Okay, when I was a kid, there was no such thing as law enforcement. They were police officers, or sometimes we called them peace officers, because that was their job. If you were not disturbing the peace, you never saw somebody in a uniform. Where I grew up in central Pennsylvania on a farm, the town and that area, I don't remember seeing a police car or a policeman the entire time I was growing up. I don't remember ever seeing one, because we didn't disturb the peace. We all lived in harmony out in the countryside. There were very few police cars, very few police officers, because there was very little crime, and it was predominantly white. But the point of it is, if you were not disturbing the peace, you never saw them. They weren't sitting out there handing out traffic tickets and all the nonsense we have today. But then what happened in the 1980s and 90s? The Jews got in there, and what did they do? They came up with a new term, law enforcement officers. Well, that's a paradigm shift. You're no longer part of the community as a peace officer, a neighbor. You're a law enforcement officer. Your job is to enforce the law, no matter how draconian or unconstitutional it is. The same thing was happening in our businesses. I remember when it started. We were called a human resource. Where does that come from? Oh, how about the Jewish Talmud? Everybody that's not Jewish is considered what? Goyim. What does goyim mean in their language? Cattle, a herd animal. What are they saying about the Palestinians right now? Right on open mics and in front of TV cameras. They're nothing but pure animals. Well, it's a Jew finally admitting what they've said for thousands of years. Non-Jews are goyim. They're just animals to be used. Now, 1980s and 90s, they got us thinking the same way by calling, instead of being an employee, which is what they were when I was a boy, we weren't called anything. We were called employees. We were part of usually a Christian-run company. And they treated us like family. We were a part of their company, an employee. Now we were a human resource. No different than the cow on my grandfather's farm out in the pasture field with a yellow tag hanging off its ear. It was a resource, an animal resource, whereas now we are human resources, the same way. And they want to tag us just like the cattle are on the farm, only they call it a cell phone. And they want all your personal data in that cell phone, and they want you to carry it 24/7. Same tagging procedure as the cows out on the dairy farm and out on the beef farm like my other grandfather had. Okay? Same thing. You're just part of a herd. You're a human resource. And we need to know everything about you, make sure you're eating right, that you're getting all your vaccines, that you've filled out all your tax paperwork right, because you're just a resource. And when you stop being resourceful, then they're going to make laws that says it's okay to take you out. And by taking out, I don't mean taking you out to dinner. I mean eliminating you because you're no longer producing, just like they would take an old horse or a donkey or a cow that outlived its usefulness out to the woods and just shoot it because it wasn't worth the hay and the straw and the grain and everything else because it was all dried up and useless. Okay, we're just like that now. The Jew is treating us exactly the way that farmers treat their cattle and their resources on the farm when they're no longer useful. Some of them do, anyway. Go ahead, Jeremiah. You got your hand up. You're muted.
Yeah, I was also going to add that when the so-called HR department first started, and I don't remember the year it first came into being, but if memory serves me right, when it first came into existence, it was a private entity that oversaw the treatment of employees. Today, the HR system is literally part of the company, so you have no one to really go to that isn't, quote, paid off, because HR is part of the supposed company that they're supposed to protect you from. That doesn't work when they're getting paid by that same company.
Exactly. There's a, what they call that, a conflict of interest. If you have some kind of a financial or business tie to something, it's a conflict of interest. Just like the original Constitution for the United States said that a lawyer could not be a judge. Okay? It also said that a lawyer could not hold public office because of the conflict of interest. All right? So what do we have in Washington, D.C. today? Almost all lawyers, just loaded with lawyers. All right? We call them judges, but actually, what is the operation of a judge? He's a referee in a courtroom. He has nothing to do with judging. That's the jury's job. He is simply a referee to make sure there's order in the court and that the jury, who will decide guilt or innocence, and the jury will also decide if the law is enforceable. Okay, now, Jewish lawyers and judges will tell you today that your only job is to decide guilt or innocence. You're not supposed to judge the law. Our founding fathers said just the opposite. They said every juror, who, by the way, should only be white men, who are free and landowners, that's the only people that were right or allowed to be jurors and Christians, but they said that, I just lost my train of thought.
You said the jury and the judges and all that were supposed
to be
landowners.
Oh, that's right. They couldn't. Right. The lawyers could not be legislated because of the conflict of interest. Right. Right. And the jury's job was to first of all, judge the law. And then if they determined that the law was constitutional and moral, then they would decide guilt or innocence based on the evidence. And jurors were allowed to call witnesses. They were allowed to call witnesses back to the stand. And they could even countermand the judge if he got out of line. The jury had the power, not the judge. And today we have just the opposite, because many of the judges are Jews and they're all arrogant sons of bitches. I've been in the courtrooms where I've watched them. They think they own the court. In fact, they'll even use the term, it's my court. No, it isn't. That court belongs to we the people. It's where we go settle our grievances in a Christian manner, moral manner. And truth matters. In the courts today, truth no longer matters. And I've heard judges and lawyers say those very words. It's a kangaroo court. It's a theater. It's more like going to watch a play than it is an actual court case. That's what we have in America today, because it's become Judaized, because that's the way the Jews want it. They want to be able to go in and argue their case, not based on fact, not based on moral law, but based on who can be more convincing and who can tell the most lies. And if you don't think that's true, that means you have not been in a courtroom in America lately, like I have. I've been in them as a juror, and I've been in them as the person there to help somebody else out of a fix. So I've been in there and up close and personal and heard what these people say and how they act. You wonder why we have no justice today. That's why. Because we are completely anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-morals. We're just going through the motions. And Jews love that because they have no problem with lying. You have to remember, a Jew every year at the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which is in the fall of every year, they go to synagogue, and they will pray a prayer called the Kol Nidre prayer. And the Kol Nidre means all oaths. Now, most every Jew will be at synagogue on Yom Kippur for this reason, because they're going to say this oath. And this oath says that they can lie in the next 12 months that all oaths that they take are null and void. So every congressman, every judge, every prosecutor, every cop, every nurse, every doctor that's a Jew has taken an oath that says they have a right to lie and there's no consequence because they prayed the Kol Nidre. That's who you have in this country. That's who you have performing operations on you. That's who you have issuing tickets and dragging you into court. That's who you have suing you. That's who you have in your HR department. That's who you have running your corporations. That's who you have in your government. People that have no ethics and no morality, and every year they pray a prayer that says, I can lie under oath for the next 12 months, no problem, because my religion says that because I said this prayer, I have no obligation to tell the truth, even if I have sworn to tell the truth. And so now, truth really doesn't matter, because it's whatever the Jew wants to say it is. He's under no obligation to tell the real truth. Go ahead, Ella.
I'll put my hand down a bit here. Okay, I want to add into that. People don't realize from the Bible, they don't read it or they don't understand it, is that Yahweh owns this land. The government does not own this land. And now the Jews, the foreigners, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds and all them, they can go to the government and say, I want to buy this 1,000,000 acres of land. And the government says, sold. And they take the money. And then these people come in and say, I am going to control all the water rights and everything of this land because it's mine. They have no right to do that because this land is not for sale for anybody. If the people knew what the rules of Yahweh were about this land, they would probably turn around because the rules of the Old Testament were after 49 years, the Jubilee year came, that anybody that lost their land through debt or anything would automatically regain their land debt-free. The Jubilee year was to free everybody from debt and slavery and everything became new and fresh, and people could live in peace and harmony with no worries at all. But man came in and changed that. Man came in and said, this is my land, and nobody's going to take it from me, and I can sell it to whoever I want. So the Chinese can come over here and buy up 3/4 of our country and then start taking it over, and then we think we can't do a damn thing about it, but we can. If we believe in Yahweh and go back to his ways, as one man said that I really appreciated was, it's either back to the jungle, back to the Bible, or back to the jungle. And we're knee deep in the jungle right now. And we have to change. We have to get out of Babylon and start our own free community. I'll yield.
Amen. That's the whole idea behind the Ark Project, is put together communities, much like the Amish do, where men and women come together of the same accord. And even in the scripture, it says those of us that gather in fellowship and are of one accord, that we are basically invincible. But we don't have anybody that has enough faith to want to do that. I personally, that's exactly what I want to do. And they say, well, they'll come and make an example of you. And I said, well, how many Amish communities have died? How many Amish communities have been burnt to the ground? I grew up in Amish country. I'm going to tell you, none of them have. All right? But they've got everybody so afraid. I mean, that was the whole idea behind Ruby Ridge and Waco, was to instill fear in the people of organizing at any level. And it worked because they're scared to death. Oh, damn, they'll come in and they'll do what they'll Waco you. Well, first of all, Waco was a staged event. Okay? Do you not know that? That was the whole purpose. Why do you think the night before Waco went down, the government was there handing out free videotapes to the news crews to make sure that they didn't miss a thing? Because that was the programming. It's a shame. It works so well. People today, oh, we don't want to form a community because that'll just make us a target. In the meantime, they're stealing your land. As Ellis said, they're giving it to the Chinese. Bill Gates has used his electronic shekels to buy up hundreds of thousands of acres of prime farmland. Now, let's stop for a minute. My enemies are buying up my land and my farmland. Could this be bad for me? Yeah. I'm sure it's just a coincidence that wealthy Jews like Soros and Gates and the Jewish-led communist Chinese buying up everything over here is for our good. Unbelievable what people believe today. What they, I don't know. I don't know what it takes to make people think again. I really don't. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
One thing I'd add to the Waco and Ruby Ridge argument is I used to, at least when I was younger, I used to think like that, like, well, if we get and gather, we'll make ourselves a target. Anymore, I've changed my belief because you're still alive. Eli James is still alive. A lot of us are still alive. And they could easily assassinate us with a push of a button. They could send a missile down a chimney and not hurt any other surrounding house. If they wanted to wipe us out, or if God would allow them to wipe us out, they would have done it. We wouldn't even have to group up for them to wipe us out if they were able to. And I say if they were able to, not based on their technology or overwhelming power, because they have the ability to literally genocide all of us within a day if they wanted to. I say that more so if God would allow them to. And God hasn't allowed them to do it yet. So us grouping up, to me anymore, probably won't really change anything.
Yeah, good point. Ryan has his hand up. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a few comments. You know, first, I am grateful for the invite, Jeremiah. Thank you. I've enjoyed this immensely. Typically, Wednesday nights, I'm training jiu-jitsu until after 8:30. So it's typically not the best night for me. But I was not doing class tonight and was free.
Oh, so good.
I think it's all perfect timing myself. But you mentioned building communities, and that's a project that I'm currently, I began, you know, I think scripture points to specific areas of gathering. He refers to mountains and so forth for protection. I believe that when the Israelites were guided out of Egypt, they were sent to Goshen. And I think that Yahweh does things consistently. He never changes. He's going to provide Goshens for his people. It's throughout scripture. This is a project that I'm currently working on, and I'm open to further discussion, collaborating, sharing ideas, working together. I have skills in leadership development, team building, etc. I basically was recently working with, I know a guy you're familiar with, Dustin Nemos. I helped him build a church, a virtual church online. And then, I've resigned from that, and now I'm pursuing the Goshen project is what I'm currently calling it. It's actually my calling. Yahweh spoke to me in 2020, just as the beginning of the pandemic or scamdemic, where he said that the Western churchianity would fall, And out of that, people will come back to his ways. He referred to it in, at the time. I didn't really know a lot. And he called it the new church of old, which are his old ways coming back to be new again. And then out of that would come cities of light, which I now call, you know, his Goshens or places of safety. And, you know, I'm collabing with people that, you know, are tied to, you know, bigger bank accounts, to purchase properties throughout the mountain ranges, particularly the Blue Ridge Mountains, Ozarks, and possibly, you know, the Rockies. You know, there's a focus on red states, particularly, you know, however, you know, it could be a trap to focus only on red states. Still trying to iron that out. Obviously, the laws are more beneficial currently. You know, you have a lot of open carry stuff and a lot of freedoms in red states. I particularly think that along the lines of trap is, you know, you're hoarding all your conservatives to the red states, and you have, you know, weather warfare that can wipe them out. You bring in a hurricane, wipe out the whole state of Florida, you know, in a day. It's possible. They can do it. But I just wanted to state that, you know, again, I'm grateful for the invite, you know, and sharpening iron with you guys. And you know, anything I can do to help or assist, I'm open. I yield.
Well, that's perfect, because I was just getting ready to say the same thing to you. It's been in our hearts and on our minds for a very long time. So anything we can do to assist the Goshen Project, and anything that you can advise us on for our ARC projects, our goals are identical. I used to think about the Ozarks, because I had a friend who had bought a rather large log cabin up in the Ozark Mountains. And this was years ago, probably over 10 years ago, and I went up there and spent a week at the cabin and walked the ground, met the local people. It was a beautiful area up in those mountains. And the lady that bought this, her idea was that Israelites would come there, because she had acreage to where campers could be set up and they could come over to the main cabin and eat. It was a beautiful idea, but here's the problem. It never came to fruition. I don't know if she's still up there or not, but the point of it is, it sounded great to us, but like I told her at the time, I have since come to realize that we can have all kind of plans, but at the end of the day, we wait upon our Father. Our Father's in charge. Why can we do these things and not suffer the way other people have suffered? Yeah, they have all kind of weapons, but what's the scripture say? No weapon formed against you shall prevail. Now, either that is true or it isn't true. Either Yahweh exists or he doesn't exist. Either the Holy Spirit is in me and comes from the Father, or it doesn't. It can't be both ways. And the problem is, most people are not true believers, because they fear, they reverence, they worship the beast, which is man-made government. The Bible talks about beasts. It's always talking about man-made governments. They're the only thing that has the power to roam the countryside looking for victims to abuse and murder and steal from, etc. Governments, man-made governments, are beasts. And people today are worshiping the beast instead of the Creator. They're saying that the beast has more power than the Creator, and that they need to fear the beast and obey the beast more than our Creator. I've taken the complete opposite tact. I had all kinds of friends and family told me back in 1998 and 1999, don't start the radio show. They'll come after you. They'll do this. They'll do that. And I'll have to admit, there was some trepidation back in those days. There were some nights that I thought, am I really supposed to do this? However, I said in prayer to the Father, you open my eyes to this biblical truth. And when he did that, I made a promise. It took 7 years for that promise to start coming to pass, but I made a promise. When I learned this identity message, I said, I will teach this message to the world. if you give me the right to do so. I started looking for a shortwave station. I wanted to buy a shortwave station because back then, this was in the early 1990s, the only way you could reach the world electronically with modern equipment was by shortwave radio. So for 7 years, I tried to save money, buy equipment, find a place. Nothing worked. And then I was invited on a internet radio because the computers had come out. The internet was in its infancy, and internet radio was just starting. So I was offered a spot on a man's radio show. I ended up being on there for almost a half hour. He invited me back a week or so later. I came back. We had another great chat. And then the next thing I know, the radio station called me and offered me my own show. Okay? Never looked back. I determined that that was the Father opening a door to do what I had said I would do 7 years prior. Okay? I also dedicated the program, which we are part of right now tonight, to several things. One was Yahweh himself. Number two was to the truth, that any person coming on as a guest or being a part of this station must tell the truth. Because if I find out you lied, you'll never come back on again, ever. I've said that to every guest, every author, every congressman, every general, every person I've interviewed in 24 years. If you lie, if you bring false doctrine, if you lie on this program, you will never, ever be on here again. I also dedicated it to our men, because I could see even back then that the world was trying to disenfranchise the white male. And so another part of the program was to build our men back up to be men again, because our men have lost that ability. They are males. We got lots of white males. We don't have a whole lot of white men. Just having the equipment doesn't make you a man. There's a whole lot more to being a man than just having the equipment. It's a spiritual journey. It's a learning a journey. It's an integrity thing, a character thing, loyalty thing, a love thing, especially on Valentine's Day. That's appropriate. So there's a lot more to being a man. And as I've told people for years and years, especially young men, your job is to never stop learning, guys. Because you have to be the leaders in your house. You have to be the Moses. You have to be the Abraham. You have to be the Joshua. You have to be the Gideon. That's your job. Just like on a battleship. Battleship has one captain. Some battleships have over 1,000 men on them. All right? But there's only one captain. Your household is your battleship where you're going to do battle with the enemy. And you are the captain of that ship, and you better act like one, and you better be properly trained in how to operate that battleship. And that's what real men do. And real men fight for the ones they love, and real men are willing to die for what they believe in. Real men will take a chance and step out in faith and say, let the chips fall where they may. But I am going to serve my Heavenly Father. Whatever days He gives me upon this world, I'm going to serve Him. And as I serve Him, I serve the people I care for and I'm responsible for. That's the way it works. And how many times in Scripture does our Father tell us, why don't test me? Test my loyalty. Test my abilities. Get out there in this sick world that we find ourselves and do the right thing. And that's what these communities would be, as a statement of faith that we're not going to care about what Babylon says. We're going to put a banner in the ground and raise the flag of our Father and determine that this land belongs to Him and we belong to Him and not a corporation and not a government, and not a military, and not the antichrists. No matter what they say or what they may try to do, I stand on what Father says in Scripture, when he said, I reprove kings and princes and tell them, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's what our Father said. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. He told kings that, okay? And yet we're running around like, oh, the king could harm us. The king could use a directed energy weapon. Hey, it could bring a hurricane down. Well, yeah, that technology's out there, but then are the Antichrist running it more powerful than Yahweh our Father? I choose to say Yahweh our Father's in charge. Weapons are used against the ungodly. If you're living according to his rules and laws and you're loving the Father, you should sleep peacefully at night. Go ahead, Jeremiah. You had your hand up.
Yeah, I just, when you mentioned about testing, I found the one verse, and it's, I believe it's Malachi 3:10, and it says, test me in this, says Yahweh Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the problem. We got everybody running around afraid, but how many people are actually getting together and saying, I'm gonna do what's right regardless. I'll take my chances, but I'm going to establish a community. I'm going to establish a large farm. Whatever. And let the chips fall where they may. I like what General Stonewall Jackson of the Confederate Army said. Duty is ours. Consequences belong to God. How simple and yet how profound. Duty. Think about what that word means. Duty is ours. In other words, doing the right thing, exactly as Scripture says. You do the right thing because it is the right thing to do. You don't sit around worrying about what the enemy's doing or your neighbors or anybody else. You do the right thing because it is the right thing. And then let the chips fall where they may. Go ahead, Ella.
I'll put it down again. I wanted just to add to that, so Ryan is there. Ryan, I think you are totally wonderful. I came and met Dan 6 years ago, and the first thing he talked to me about was starting the ARC project, which is the same as your Goshen project. I know all about the land of Goshen, what happened when the flesh and blood and all that were flying around there and how they were protected. But one thing that the people have to learn, our people have to learn today, particularly the women have to learn their place. I know I'm a loud mouth and I'm have my set ways and all that because I'm an old lady. But the women today have to learn, too, that the men are in charge. The men are the ones that are going to bring this about. The men have the mind of God. The men have the mind of Yahweh. And the women are there to support the men, and that's our job. So all you men, treat your women the way you should be treating them. As the people that you love and cherish and everything, but they are not your equal. They are not your betters. They are not behind you, but they are beside you. And the women have to learn, too, all these things, because this is what is like a successful, harmonious community. I yield.
Very good. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the compliment, Ella. I couldn't agree with you guys more. I just wanted to add to the comment that I mentioned about weather warfare. It's not there's no fear on my part. I lean heavily on the Holy Spirit's guiding. And I just noticed that there are places around our nation where people are, I think, deliberately being led to the slaughter. I feel like Scripture supports fleeing to the mountains. And what the first action of business needs to be in both projects or any projects, because I think there's going to be a worldwide initiative. I think there's probably other groups already working on similar projects. That's the way Yahweh works. And the first order of business needs to be to raise up patriarchal men. Men that follow his ways, his laws, keep his feasts, and love him with all their heart and seek his face with all their might. And we need those kind of men to build these strongholds, and then the people will have a place to flee. And that's the way it's been on my heart since 2020, and it's just evolved, and I've gotten more information as time has gone on, and I couldn't feel more stronger about it at this point in time. But thanks again for the compliment. I really appreciate that. I yield.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would go along with that, Ryan. It's obvious that the Father is talking to you, at least from my perspective. It's pretty obvious. Just as I know he talks to Ella and he talks to Jeremiah and many of our other listeners that normally are here tonight and they're not here for some reason. But he is touching the hearts of many of our people. I also wanted to let you know we archive these discussions on my website. I don't know if Jeremiah gave it to you, but PastorDan.net is my website. There's archives there of the Sunday morning programs. There's also archives of these Wednesday night chats. There's a lot of other information on that site too, but PastorDan.net also has the schedule for any upcoming broadcasts, special broadcasts, etc. And if you ever want to join me on a Sunday morning broadcast, just let me know. Again, my contact information is on the website. Also, Jeremiah can give it to you. I think it would be a great conversation if you and I were to discuss our project ideas on a Sunday morning, and we could give the scriptural basis for it. And it would be wonderful to promote, because that's what this is. This forum that I created 24 years ago was to the family of our Father in Heaven, the Israelites that are here in this dystopic world trying to make it a better place and to survive it and be overcomers, as Yahshua told us to be. And we do that when we work together, when we put our heads together, work together of one accord for righteous goals, then how could it fail? Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I was just going to add one thing that I think about regarding, well, Ryan's Goshen project and our ARC project is whenever I think of the ARC project, I think of it more as the ARC communities project being more than one, because to get basically all of Awake Israel to one spot is basically a pipe dream. Unless God himself does it, it's not possible. But to have a almost like a trail of different communities scattered but all connected in some mode or way of communication, that I can see definitely more being plausible than having a single compound or single community.
Well, I agree. When we talk about it, the idea that we've had is never that it was going to be one place, because that's just not going to happen. That would take divine intervention for that to happen. And so if there's divine intervention, it could happen. But based on what we have to work with today, no. A series of communities is exactly what we're talking about. What we could end up doing is having commerce between it. Like your communities in the north could trade lumber and metals and stuff to the communities in the south, where we have a longer growing season and we grow more food. So we could be exchanging it that way. We could have an alternative commerce. We could have an alternative money system. We could do all kind of things. I mean, again, I'll use the model that's already been established and proved it can work. Look at the Amish. They're all over Pennsylvania, Ohio, New England. They're clear down here in Florida. They're all over. They're in Texas. They're all over. They're not in one spot. So, and again, as Ella pointed out, the ladies, I've got an aunt that's one of two wives of an Amishman up in Pennsylvania. my great aunt Mary. She's living up there and still there, and they're all living together and happy as pigs in manure, as my dad used to say. So, you know, it's not like it can't be done. And again, I'm not saying the Amish have it all right, because they have some things that they've got right and there's some things that they've got wrong. But the concept, it works. They showed it works. You have to be of one mind. You have to have agreed that you're going to stick together and work through this thing in spite of the fact that you have different. That's the one key thing that I keep trying to remind people about. Don't expect us to agree on every single issue there is. It's never going to happen. The people that founded this country didn't agree on every issue. That's why we had separate colonies. All right? That's why each colony had their own bylaws. They had their own script. People call it money today, but it was script that they operated with, because they didn't all agree. But they did agree on enough that they wanted to look out for each other, protect each other, and to have this great experiment to continue. That's why each state of this union is a sovereign state. Doesn't matter what Babylon says. Each state is a sovereign state. Each man and woman upon this earth is a sovereign in the eyes of our Father, our Creator. We are sovereign. You don't have to file paperwork to be a sovereign. You don't have to do anything. You are sovereign from birth. All you got to do is take it back. Put your feet on the ground, stand tall, and demand that your sovereign rights be obeyed. Demand that you're a child of the Most High, just like Daniel did, just like Joshua did, Abraham did, Isaac, Jacob. And look how they turned the world around. I mean, Christ himself had 12 men. That's it. So 13 guys turned this world around, turned this world on its head. 13 guys. That's all. 13 guys. Why? Because just like my dad said to me when I was a boy, a man with conviction is a majority. Okay? Remember that. A man with conviction is a majority. What do you think happens when it's a group with conviction? All right? What's that old saying? That the power of the group is greater than the sum of the powers of the individuals. All right? So each one of us has a certain amount of power, but when we come together as a group, it's not just the sum of our powers, it's exponentially higher. It's just a fact of law, it's a fact of nature, it's our Father created it. All right? So when we come together, that's why the enemy spends so much time and money keeping us separated. Getting us to fight about issues that really are inconsequential. We got to stop thinking like that. We got to stop letting them manipulate us. Ryan, you got your hand up, or is that from before?
It was from before, but I will say this. I agree with you 100%. There are going to be theological differences. That's something because of, you know, where everybody's at in their studies. You know, everybody has a different walk. And there is stuff that is out there that is confusing people. But the one thing that is always true is Yahweh's laws, his ways, and how to love him. And that is what we come together in unison, and that is where our success will draw from. Unfortunately, I got to get going, but I got to get kids to bed here. But it was a pleasure and an honor being with you folks tonight. I feel completely blessed. Thank you for the invite again, Jeremiah. And by the way, Pastor Dan, you have an amazing son there. Jeremiah is an amazing man. I'm super proud to know him. He's a really intellectual fellow. I've had some amazing conversations with him over the phone, and really have enjoyed his intellect and his wisdom.
I agree.
Well, thank you, Ryan.
Jeremiah,
yeah, it's a
pleasure
and
honor.
Yep. Thank you, Ryan. And this is normally when we go anyway, so I'm going to close this up in prayer. And then we'll, like I said, this will be archived on the website so people can listen to it later, because a lot of people listen to the archive. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to come together. We are small in number, we know that, but so were you and your disciples. It is not the numbers that matter, it's the qualities, it's the heart, it's the person that we are in the inside, it's our drive, what motivates us to do and say the things that we do. Those are the things that matter. Our family sometimes is not flesh and blood, but the spiritual family. Just as Yahshua said, my family is here before me, my spiritual brothers and sisters that are all over this world. And we are desperately trying, Father, to find a place and to come together where we can live according to your laws and walk away from this Babylonian nightmare that surrounds us. And to that end, we pray that Ryan is successful. We pray that at some point you'll open up a door for us. We thank you for the fact that so many of our people are reaching out and networking at this time. We're really tickled about Mr. Nemos and what he has been talking about. Even Max Egan and Jeff Burick and Mr. Kitos, I believe his name is, or Kistos or whatever that was on with Dustin. These guys are talking about you and your law more than I've ever heard in all my years of teaching this message. And that's an encouraging sign. So we'd ask, Father, that you bless and that you protect, as the word says you will. You do not forsake us. You do not leave us, that we should not fear. I just pray a blessing. I pray the warrior, the soldier's ransom upon all of the men, that in these perilous times that we will stand tall and we will defend the people that we love, even unto death if it were required. But we also trust in the fact that maybe you won't require that, because Gideon didn't lose a single man, and I believe that we are in Gideon's army now. And so as we go forward from this platform tonight, we just again ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And we ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.